Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Let's go straight to the Word of God. If you have your Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start from the 14th verse. If you don't have a Bible, if you have a smartphone, I'd encourage you to download YouVersion or a Bible app of some sort. But if you don't have a Bible, we have it on the screen for you. Verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey. This is Jesus talking, and he's telling this parable. Man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he had who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. Who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Everybody say, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not, where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master, he answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. Ouch. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even when he has, it will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Hopefully you're encouraged by that. Ooh, scary, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to just show this picture I took in Garden City yesterday. I was walking towards the Woolworths, and there's this picture. I don't know if you can see it very clearly on the screen, but this was at, I was taking my kids for lunch at Garden City, and I was picking up some things for the day. And as I was walking to Woolworths, I saw this light that was on. It was daytime. It was like 1 p.m. And I was wondering, what a waste of power. Who's paying for this power that is powering this light that is on? I mean, most people wouldn't have noticed that it was on. I just saw it and thought, man, this is ridiculous. What is the point of having a light on during the day? Don't you think? Like, and the next picture I have is a candle factory in Indonesia. Where they make candles. And I was just thinking about, imagine a candle factory, and we all went and grabbed candles, and we went outside in this beautiful Queensland weather and tried to enjoy the candles. How many of you know that light is to be spent in darkness in order for it to be dispelled and effective? Light is most effective in darkness. Now, I'm going to come back to this point that I'm making at the top. This is one of those messages you're going to have to hang in there to the end to kind of get the whole picture. But the picture is embodied in this title of my message, which is Daylight at the Candle Factory, Stewarding the Shine. Daylight at the Candle Factory, Stewarding the Shine. Now, I'm going to spend the crux of our time just breaking down the scripture that we've read. How many of you have heard this parable before? Okay. Now, I wanted to make it clear, okay, As we go through this, because there's some things in this parable you may have heard before. Yeah, Pastor Nelly, I heard that in Sunday school. For those of you who grew up in Sunday school. But there may be some new things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to highlight from this parable in light of this topic of our series called generosity. Now, God has intended for us to spend our lives. I'm just going to put a full stop there. Spend our lives doing what? To spend our lives. The whole objective of our life is to encounter our Savior at the conclusion of this life with our cup fully poured out, to have fully spent it and fully invested it here on earth. Our time here on earth is a great opportunity for us to invest in things that will outlast us. But it's funny how it's so easy, we so easily become so enraptured by the things of this world that we forget the whole purpose behind why we exist, which is to honor God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, looking at verse 14 of chapter 25, look at this. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants. How many of his servants, God's servants, do we have in the house today? Okay, 7, 8, can I get 9? 9, anybody? We're going to do another auction, Tina. 9, can I get 10? All right. And entrusted to them his property. Every single person in here, let me get a show of hands one more time. Who's the servants in the house? Every single one of you who have put your hand up and say you are a servant of the Most High of God, you have been entrusted with the property of God. The life that you have, we sang it. I hope you caught it. My life is not my own. It's true. That life that you are living right now, take a deep breath. Breathe it out. That's God's breath. I hope it's not a smelly one. But you know, that's God's breath that He gave you. Every breath is a privilege. It's an honor to breathe that breath that you breathe, because that breath comes from God and it's to be used for God. Have you ever thought about that? Because as Christians, we live a whole lot differently. Like we said, in baptism, we are dead to ourselves. Look, before we are baptized, before we even give our lives to Christ, our life is our own. And so we live in accordance with what we think is best for mostly ourselves, right? But God gives us the revelation that our life does not belong to us. It belongs to Him. He's entrusted us with His property. Now watch this. And then He goes away. Now this whole talk about talents. You've got to understand that talent is a unit of finance in this parable, okay? He's talking specifically about money in this parable, but it can be read with the context of all property. So you can say it's not like your singing talent. I need you to understand that God is talking, Jesus is talking primarily about finances, but in general about His property. Are you with me? So in the expansion of the understanding of what His property is, you need to think about it this way. Yes, He's talking about finances, because how many of you know, like 2/3 of the parables that Jesus told were actually about money. And the reason why He talked about money is not because He loves money, it's because it's the number one idol at the time of Israel, at the time of the people that were around Jesus during that time that parables were told. And how many of you know that it's still an idol now? That's why He keeps bringing up money. It's because it's an idol. He's not interested as much about money as much as how much it has your heart. And so He focuses on money. But when we're talking about the property that can be referenced here secondarily, we're talking about, number one, time. Your use of time. When you waste time, you're wasting God's time. Hello, somebody. The way you spend your time is spent knowing that your life is not your own. Every hour on your schedule needs to be lived out on purpose. Now, does that mean, does that mean I have to, you know, just have no fun at all? No, schedule it. Steward it well. God wants you to have fun. God wants you to enjoy. God wants you, when you rest, you should sleep well. You should be intentional about every aspect of your life. You should have fun, but you should use the right fun at the right time. Amen. Ecclesiastes says that there is a time for everything. So we steward this unit of property, i.e. talent, well. So when you look at your schedule, you should plan to try and eliminate the white spaces on your schedule in order that you glorify God with every aspect of your life. If you really do say God is your priority, show me your schedule. If you really do say, oh, my marriage is my priority, show me where you've scheduled time with your wife or time with your husband to spend nurturing your marriage. If you really do say, oh, time with my family, it's so important to me, or pursuing my career in order to, and growing my mind, my heart, my soul in order to glorify God, show me your schedule. Another term that we can use in terms of the property that God gives us to steward well is our relationships, our friendships. How do we steward those friendships? It's interesting, a lot of people will come into friendships and they'll be more about what they can get out of the friendship more than giving themselves away. More than looking for an opportunity to walk in a room like this and say, man, how can I serve this person? How can I serve that person? Do you mind if I meddle a little bit? Is that okay? Okay, for all you single people, I'm go there. Yeah. Okay, for all you ladies that believe in God, will one day bring Mr. Right, all right? That's okay. It's a good thing. Don't idolize it, but that's a good thing. But the way you can test a man's character is like by looking at the quality of his friends around him, the relationships around him. Does he have strong friendships with other brothers around him? Or is he one of those sister girl kind of boys? I'm just saying. Look, I prefer just hanging out with girls. Oh, really? Because there's a special way that brothers around other brothers will help groom a real man. You know what I mean? Okay? Just going to lay that there. You just handle that. Same thing in reverse, okay? My brothers who are single in this room, you know, you want to see an aspect of a sister's character, see the strength of the sisters that are around her. Oh, got really quiet all of a sudden there. I don't know what I said, Patrick. I think I offended somebody. You know, like if they're, I get really scared when, you know, like girls hook up with a brother and the brother has no character references around him. You know, oh, show me a brother who can verify your character. Oh, got none. But, you know, I hang out with these teenage little girls that they can verify my character. No. Show me some brothers. Well, sister, show me some sisters. Just some practical advice. The stewardship of your friendships is also another way that you can glorify God. Do you come into friendships and relationships with an attitude of rebellion, with an attitude of what I can get out of this relationship in order to better me, rather than how can I serve this relationship to glorify God? That's why a lot of marriages end up being torn up, because it's like, well, he doesn't serve my needs anymore. Well, I forgot. I thought, yeah, well, have you tried serving his needs or her needs? Well, no, it's about me and getting mine, you know. He should understand me. Yes, he should, but have you tried understanding him or her? Because it's a two-way street. Relationships, Christ-centered relationships are all around giving yourself. And you're going to notice this. It's about investment. It's about how can I serve. And that's why, you know, for those of you who are single, you better you better find the right person that God would lead you to in order that you may serve with all your heart and they may serve you. That's a good way to figure it out early. If he's all like, oh, come on, girl. Girl, you all that in a bag of chips. You better tell him you take your chips, take your little Pringles and go somewhere else. Because I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And I am to be stewarded well, and I will steward the right relationship with the right man, the right marriage at the right time when God releases me to do it, because I know that this life is not my own. You belong to God, daughters. You belong to God, son. So the way you spend your life is not your own. But I just want to find a man who will please me. You know, find Jesus. He'll please you. Let's move on. I'm just kidding. For all my students in here, you know, like preparing your mind, the way you study is another. I mean, there's so many things in your life, your time, your talent, your treasure, the way you train your mind, the way you train your heart, the way you train your body. Oh, hello. Are all opportunities to worship the Lord, to steward well the talents. Yes, it is a unit of finance, but these are all things that God has entrusted for you. Now, you can look at these things in your life, your schedule, the way you steward your body, your soul, your spirit, your worship lifestyle, how deep your prayer is, how much you preach the gospel. You can look at that as, well, I don't need that because it doesn't My life is my own. Well, how's that working for you? Because I'm here to tell you today, you're going to be completely miserable because none of these things will fulfill you unless they're under the submission to the one who stewarded it and trusted them to you in the first place. They are his property. Verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went at once. Woo! There's something in that. He went at once. Immediately, he recognized, man, I've got a limited amount of time with this amount that he's given me. I'm going to steward it well. He went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. Now, here's the image I need you to understand here. When he's talking about trading, he's talking about investment. See, the things that God has given you are things that he's entrusted to you to help other people. So when you talk about the 5 gifts, the 5 talents that he calls you to sow them into people. If you've got time, sow it into people. Sow it into building relationships. Sow it into helping others to come to know the wealth of a relationship in Christ. Sow it into yourself so you can be a better tool that God might use for his glory. But it's using this time, this talent, this treasure, the stewardship of everything that you have for his glory. Are you with me today? Are you with me? Now, here's my hero in verse 17. He doesn't get much props because everybody focuses on Mr. 5. But my hero is Mr. 2. You want to know why? Because he only had 2. And you never hear him complain. He knows, man, my capacity is 2. So I'm going to do what I can with the 2 and make it do what it do. So he takes the 2 and he produces another 2. And he's like, whoa, that's my portion. He could have easily taken the 2, look at the dude with the 5, and he got in his 5 and like, whoa. How many of you know as Christians, we have a tendency to compare ourselves and we go, where's my 5? Now, God's given you 2. Be faithful with the 2. Amen? Amen? Some of us may have more. Some of us may have less. But what are you doing with yours? Stop looking around. Look, if your face is fully fixed and focused on what God has called you to do, you don't have time to look around. But too many of us. Like, I give myself away, but I only have 2 and he has 5. Come on, man. Like, if you have 2, you better work those 2. Work, 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 work. You better work those 2 until they become 4. Work what God has given you. No comparison. See, the same honor is, and he could have easily said, because the guy with the 5 got another 5, and then he got the 1 from the dude who had the 1. He goes, well, what's mine? But no complaint. He knew that his portion and the ability that God had given him was for 2. And that's okay. You just better work your 2, work your 3, work your 4. Some of us have got 5. See, some of us, see the hard thing about it, when we have more talents, we are entrusted with more responsibility. Too much is given, much is required. And so we have much more responsibility. But a lot of us who are gifted end up riding the talent. The difference between goodness and greatness is often just practice. It's often just the discipline of working your 5 or working your 2, putting it to work for the glory of God, in generosity, spending yourself so that others may be glorified. See, the other thing about this is that with investment, it is visible for others to be able to see that you are investing. See, the difference between the 5 and the 2 and the dude that had the 1 is the one guy kept it a secret. See, the thing about spending yourself and investing it is that everybody can see what you're doing. Is your Christianity public? Is it visible? Can people see that you are investing in other people? And not to the glory of yourself, but you understand that there is a boss that is coming back to see what we've done with our 5, with our 2, with our 1. But here's dude with the 1, right? In verse 18, he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground, hid it, and he hid his master's money. Now you're going to hear language here that is echoing of another part of Scripture. See if you can figure this out. But I wanted to state this firstly, that talents were made to be used in public to the glory of God. This guy keeps it on the down low. He's a down low Christian. Nobody has to know that he's a Christian. It's a cigarette. Shh. It's a cigarette. Shh. Corny dad joke. Anyway, my wife is keeping it real up the front here. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. And he said to him, And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, and saying, Master, you have delivered 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. Now, I want to address this thing called false humility. I want to kick this devil's teeth. There is a thing called false humility, and it's in a lot of cultures that I see in our church right now. There is a thing called humility, and then there's false humility. See, false humility presents itself as humble, but really it's clothed in shyness to the glory of yourself. When God has gifted you with an ability to help others, but you are afraid of what people might think because of you stepping out, and you're kind of like, nah, it's okay, I'm shy, I'll give somebody else a turn. No, you better step up, and you better work that thing that God has given you to the glory of God and to help others be set free. Can you imagine if God told me and Tina, just as an example, okay, and this is not pride at all, this is just an example that off the top of my head said, you know, we were called by God to come and help lead this church, and we were like, no, it's okay, God, I'm honored that you would, but I'm kind of shy. God's destiny is for those who will boldly take the step out and not be concerned about what other people may think, but rise above the criticism of others in order that others may be set free. Look, if it's going to help other people get set free and help other people to come to know the glory of God, you better step out. You better step out. That false humility, that shyness, let me tell you something. Look up at me, everybody. Shyness is not of God. It's not of God. Look, if God is going to, like, if you have a singing voice, you better sing. If you can do accounting, you better do accounting to the glory of God. Well, you know, I just don't want to touch the calculator. Because, you know, oh, what a privilege and honor. I'm sure you can find somebody else. Of course God can find somebody else, but it's a privilege that he'd even choose you. You better rise up and take that opportunity to glorify him. Every single one of you have an opportunity to shine. But you're willing, you just want to stay in the candle factory where it's all safe. Let me tell you something. If God has called you to be the light of the world, this is not where it ends, because we're all lights. Look around you. Turn to 3 people around you and say, you're a light. Just encourage them. Just encourage them. Now, if you're a light, and you're a light, and you're a light, and you're a light, then the whole point of this service changes. Are you with me? Because we're all lights. We're all lights. But light was not just meant to hang out with other lights. We're not Christmas ornament lights. Like we all hold hands, kumbaya, my Lord, around that tree. No, we are bright lights that God has called to go out into the darkness and invest. Here I have my 5 lights. I will spend my 5 lights in order to reach others that they may see the light of God and bring back another 5. That's the light that God wants us to steward well. This is not where your Christianity ends. This attendance of a church service is only the beginning. It's where I and our leadership team have the opportunity to equip you as the saints for the work of ministry. You are all the ministers that are called to change Brisbane. It's not just me. It's all of my job is to help inspire you, equip you with the word of God, and give you everything that you need in terms of relationships, inspire you towards developing a strong lifestyle of prayer, meditation on the word, in order that you have everything you need so that when you go out, hello, in the darkness of Brisbane, you shine. Shine bright like a diamond. Man, I'm singing all the Rihanna songs today, man. God has called you to shine, and you better work that shine. For all my UQ students here, how many of you know you better shine on UQ, QUT, Griffith, whatever uni you're on, whatever school you're in, whatever high school you're in. It's easy to be a Christian when you're around the other lights, say, amen, praise the Lord, Pastor Nelly, preach it. And then you go on the Monday, and you know, you're trying to get the light going. It's not working. Why is it not working? See, my job here is to help you shine so that when you go out, you'll continue to shine. I'm going to give you these 4 elements, and you're going to hear them over and over and over again until we go and meet Jesus. If you want to continue to shine, you need to have these four things in your life on the regular, in development, in your life. Work these four things. Number one, you need to meditate on the word. Not just read it, you need to meditate on the word. Like, get that word in your system and chew on it. Get all the nutrients out of it. Get it in your system. You need to work the Bible. You need to meditate on it till it's all you believe over what the world may say. Number two, you need to develop a strong lifestyle of prayer. Not just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, you need to work it, not Mali, Ebule, like just like your national anthem type prayers. I mean, you need to develop a strong, intimate prayer lifestyle with God where you believe everything he says and you start praying his word and believing his word above what the world may say. So you need to develop a strong lifestyle of prayer. Number three, you need to preach the gospel. You need to preach the gospel to yourself every day and learn to preach it to others every day. This is what it means to not dig a hole and stick your faith in the ground. You need to get it out. Get it out. Look for opportunity. Well, I'm not a preacher like you. No, all you need to do is just share how God has transformed your life and how he can help others transform their lives if they trust in God. Learn to preach the gospel. This is why we have Leadership 215 and Foundations for Victory. These are classes that you can learn to preach the gospel. We want to help you preach the gospel. Come, join us. And then lastly, and this is going to be the hardest for a lot of you up in here, is you need to fight to fellowship with other believers. I'll kind of do my own thing. You're like the Bobby Brown of Christianity, leaving New Edition. You know, I'm doing my own thing. Like the guy that left One Direction. What's his name? See, none of you remember because he went off on his own, right? Like no one remembers his name. That's right. Wrong Direction. That's his name. Huh? How many of you I'm good, Pastor Nelly, just come on the Sunday, just hang out with y'all, but I'm the kind that, you know, comes late and leaves early just so none of you can see it because I'm digging a hole and planting my Christianity in the ground so that nobody can see. So you need to develop, you need to fight for fellowship. Let me tell you something. The relationships you have, even within this church, if you're a part of this church, you're going to get offended. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will be offended. Welcome to Christianity. But you've got to learn to get your fight on to fight for this fellowship. If God has called you to be a part of this fellowship, then fight to stay in fellowship. You can't have the same mentality that you used to have up in the nightclubs. Well, you go to the nightclub and, you know, the DJ plays the songs. You're like, woo, yeah, this is my jam. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, boom, da-da-da-da, doo, yeah. But then you notice he keeps playing that same song. About 6 months later, you're like, oh, I don't like this song anymore. I'm going to a new club. Then you get saved, and you come to the church, and you are alive. Yeah, woo, woo, woo. Then you hear that about 6 months later. Oh, come on. I'm going to another church. You go to a church, you get offended by somebody there. Go to another church, don't like the color of the carpet, go to another church. This church has a cafe, and it's good for a while until they go vegan, and then you're like, oh, my gosh. What is up with gluten-free anyway? You're going to bounce from one church to another, and you'll never be satisfied. That's why the fourth thing is fellowship. You got to fight to stay where God has called you to be. And let's be honest, it's going to be a fight to stay here if you haven't figured it out. But God puts you in the body as he sees fit. You know, we're not trying to look for somewhere where we can have all our needs met. If you haven't figured it out, that's not Christianity. But you need a place to invest and sow and serve so that you can also be invested in and sown into and be served as well. It's a reciprocal process where you sow five and you get another five because God is a God who blesses if you will root yourself strongly in the presence of God. Moving to the conclusion, now check this out. Jesus' response was, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. We call this fist around here. Everybody put your fist up like this. Don't worry. Fist stands for faithful in small things. Everybody say faithful in small things. Hold your fist up. Hold your fist up. Okay, if you forget that, you have every part of your own permission. So just knock your head. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be faithful in small. Oh, that kind of hurts, actually. Faithful in small things. If you are faithful in small things, you will be entrusted with much more. Oh, God, I want more. I want more of what you have for me. Be faithful in small things. Oh God, I want a house of my own. And can't even clean your own house that you're in right now. Lord, I want to make more disciples. Make your bed. Yeah? Faithful in small things. Can I get an amen, somebody? All right. Verse 22, and he also who had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. Now, the master did not say, oh, two, is that all? No, he responds by saying, well done, good and faithful servant. So the same honor he gave to the guy who had five gives it to the guy who has two. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And then this guy, verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, you can just hear his voice, kind of like this Gollum thing going, Master. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. There's so much in this language that he's using here. I hope you're catching this. Master, I knew you to be a hard man. How many of you know God is not a hard man? Sure, he's hard in terms of the wrath that he dishes out towards those who participate in sin. But how many of you know we are set free from sin now? We have been entrusted. Like, God doesn't entrust people that he doesn't trust, but he entrusts you. What an honor, what a privilege it is to co-labor with the Holy Spirit and to steward well the things that he's given us. Now, you can choose to use your excuses like this guy, or you can choose to say, man, what an honor it is that God would give me new life. It's the perspective of, you see, the loving, good father or the hard man. I perceive that you are a hard man. Reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I mean, this picture of God, for those of you who grew up in the 80s, it makes him sound like Gargamel. You remember Gargamel? Bear with me, those of you who were born after 1990, just ask an old person. And gathering where you scattered no seed. Now, I want you to listen for the language here. Verse 25, so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Now, how many of you remember someone else being afraid and hiding? How about in the Garden of Eden, upon the first sin, partaking in the fruit of which God had commanded them not to partake of? Their response in their sin, they knew it was sin. It is sin to be falsely humble, because it's an oxymoron. False humility is pride, just in a better looking jacket. I was afraid, Adam said, because I was naked, so I hid. This man says, I was afraid, so I hid it in the ground. Wrong perspective of the father causes him to have a wrong reaction to that which God has called him to steward. I'm here to tell you today that the loving father entrusts to you these talents, whatever it may be, your finances, yes, but also the things that he's called you to steward. He entrusts them to you. Are you going to be one who hides them in the ground? Look, I don't care what culture you're from. You are called to not hide those talents under the ground in the name of your culture. Because we're now Christians. We operate in kingdom culture now. And so now we abandon those things and we say, to the glory of God, even in my nation, I will model what it looks like to be humble and to be bold in serving God. Here, now, I want you to catch this last phrase here. It says, here, you have what is yours. This guy never even understood that what he was given was actually entrusted to him. Yes, it wasn't his, but he was an heir according to the promise. So he always knew it would belong to God. So you know how sometimes when you lend stuff to people and they don't steward it well, it's not mine, it's yours. But if he took ownership of it, he would have stewarded it in a different way. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. See, wickedness is a twin of laziness, slothfulness. Laziness does not honor God. Read the book of Proverbs. So much in there. Comparing lazy people to ants and saying the ants are more productive than you. Every day that God gives you is an opportunity to steward and worship him. And the more you just let days, months, and years go by without pursuing the will of God that he has for your life, blaming other people, blaming the generations that have gone before you. And look, I need you to hear me. I'm not dismissing the pain that you may have walked through to get to this point. I'm not dismissing the testimony that God's built up to get to this point. But you are still at a point of choice. Do we use the crutch of the past as an excuse to not step into your future? Or do we use that as what has been a stumbling block to now become a stepping stone into the future? The choice is ours. I mean, he says, you knew that I reap where I'm not sown and gather where I've scattered no seed. Then, if you knew that, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. At my coming, I should have received what was with my own interest. Verse 28, so that take the talent from him and give it to the one who has had 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I'm going to finish where I started today. God has called us, and I hope you can catch this. God has called us to invest as lights of the world, to shine in places and to invest our lives in order that we may draw people towards himself. How many of you have experienced this in your own home where you keep the door open and the light is on, and then all of a sudden these sand flies and moths come around the light and just fly towards it? When you think about Victoria Point or some of the areas along the shore here, some of them have like lighthouses so that boats know where to come in. God's calling this church, and for different one, all of us who say that we are servants of the Most High God, to shine brightly so that people know how to come home. And so that as we invest and shine brightly, we withdraw. Like as we spend five on trying to develop the strength of the light that God has called us to emit, that we withdraw another five lights towards him. And that's the return that God brings our way. If we look at Matthew chapter 5, just in closing here, verse 14 to 16, a very familiar scripture. You are the light of the world. Turn to somebody, encourage them. You are the light of the world. Catch this. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. It's not let your light shine, period, full stop. It's let your light shine before others so that others may find their way, right? So that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Look, we don't do the good works to be visible, but our good works should be visible in order that people will see the way to come home towards the glory of God. A city set on a hill. Now think about this. A city is a group of lights. When you look around this room, we are a city. Every nation, Brisbane, is a city made up of a number of different lights. And when we are set up on a hill, no matter where you are in the darkest place of the city, you can still see it visibly from wherever you are. That is the way to come home. Now, of course, we're not the only church in Brisbane that is a city on a hill. But how many of you know we're called to be faithful as a city on a hill here in Brisbane? I was going to show you this picture of South Korea and North Korea taken from the satellite. And if you look at this picture of South Korea and North Korea, South Korea is full of light. You can see it from the satellite picture that there's so many lights around it, especially in areas where there are major cities like Seoul. And then there's a massive gap of blackness. And then where China starts, there's more lights around that area. There's no light that you can see from a satellite looking down on North Korea, if you know it geographically. Now, of course, we pray for the nation of North Korea, but how many of you know that in the spirit, God does not want us to be a North Korea in the spirit? Are you with me? That you have a massive geographical area that God has called us to invest in so that others may come to know him, but there's nothing to shine there, and there's nothing to draw people towards the light that can be found because we've hidden it in the ground. The light that God's given us, we've hidden it in the ground. How many of you would say, you know what, Pastor Nelly, it ends here. I'm not going to dig a hole and put my light in the ground. No more excuses. I'm going to invest, whether it's preaching the gospel, whether it's financially sowing into this house, the work of what God's doing here, and sowing into mission, sowing into whatever God has called you to sow into. I'm going to invest so that when I stand before my Father, I will be able to say, you gave me five, here is another five.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.